Just some clarifications that we're trying to let everyone know, because we are in the middle of a process right now of selecting a senior pastor. And on this coming Sunday, we're just sort of reiterating that Don Tucker, our candidate, will be speaking in both Sunday morning services. And then on September 27th, the following Sunday, he'll speak in the morning. And then at 5 p.m., from 5 to 6:30, there will be a question and answer thing. A question and answer time with Don Tucker, followed by a business meeting to vote. And then last night, there was an absentee voting provision made for those that cannot be at the Sunday night business meeting, which would be the 27th. You can vote starting next Wednesday. So this, you know, next Wednesday, the 23rd, during regular business hours of the church, which are 8 to 5, and you can vote Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. However, keep in mind, on Friday, our offices close at 3, so the end of the absentee voting, the last time to do it, would be at 3 p.m. A week from this coming Friday. Okay. And just so we're all clear, the goal of communication is to clearly communicate, so I just want to make sure, do I need to repeat that, or was that clear enough? And I don't mind if someone talks back to me, seriously. So this coming Sunday, two services. Sunday night will be the all-church worship and prayer meeting. We are moving that to create space for then the 27th. That p.m. service will be a Q&A starting at 5 p.m. In the sanctuary, followed by a business meeting with a vote. And if you cannot be here on the 27th, you can vote absentee starting next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday during normal business hours of the church. Okay? If you have any more questions about that, just feel free to let me know. I'll also let you know there is a full list of the script that was read, and then the observations or the qualifications for senior pastor. They are all on the website. And so just making that clear. If there are any other questions, just come and see me afterwards, and unless there wasn't something clear about the schedule. Okay? Great. Well, tonight we are continuing on. You're going to have to follow that one up, Leo. tonight we are, and he does have something to help, and he's going to be telling you about that in just a few minutes. But Leo Crosby is a good friend of mine. He also works with a national church planning organization, Church Multiplication Network, which is with the Assemblies of God headquarters next door. He's also a longtime friend of mine. But more than any of that, and aside from a job describing a person, this guy loves, you may have heard of it, it's called Twitter. This guy loves Twitter. In fact, he was the first one that introduced me to something that was called a tweet-up. Now, raise your hand if you understand or know what a tweet-up is. Yeah, LaDonna, his wife. It's because they have tweet-upped a few times. A tweet-up is evidently, Leo sends out a Twitter, we're going to tweet-up at Coffee Ethic at 9 a.m. in the morning. We'll tweet you there, you know, that kind of thing. And so we learn something new every day. So thank you, Leo, for your influence of Twitter on all of our lives. So we appreciate that very much. But Leo Crosby coming tonight to continue our series on Our Daily Bread. Would you give it up for him as we continue our series?
Thanks, Mike. Well, yes, I am a Twitter addict. If you're not familiar with Twitter, Israel, it's just saying something 140 characters less via text message or internet, and check it out. It's a lot of fun. It's just kind of keep up with people. You know, it's interesting. I was watching you basically follow people, and you know, the top 10 Twitter accounts, two of them have over 3 million people following them. One was Ellen DeGeneres, the other was Ashton Kutcher, neither of which I follow, but I'm sure that my wife does. So. You know, hey, Mike, thanks so much for that introduction. A little bit of trivia, a little bit of known fact. You know, Mike and I go back quite a few years, actually. We both attended Central Bible College. But what a lot of people don't know is that Mike was able to follow me immediately as the youth secretary here at Central Assembly. Now, we never called ourselves a secretary. We were the youth assistant, but we were really the secretary here. So, you know, if there's anything wrong with Mike's organizational skills coming into an office setting, it's probably my fault in some way, shape, or form. But if you've got your Bible with me tonight, if you would turn to Matthew chapter 6, we've been teaching on the Lord's Prayer, and If you know me, you know I have an extreme love of food. So the fact that I'm preaching on our daily bread tonight probably is not a big surprise to most of you. And as we were talking about this a few months ago about what we were going to do and how we were going to do this, I believe it was Dave Main had a great idea. He said, man, what if we had Lambert's rolls to throw? And I said, I've always wanted to do that. So there were a few Lambert's rolls here tonight, and I just want to know, did anybody not get one? We got one in the back. All right, there we go. I've always wanted to do this. I'm going to really try this. If I hit somebody, I'm sorry. Watch your drinks. Here we go. No. One more time. Oh, here we go. Where we got over here? Ah. Oh, always wanted to do that. I've always just had the desire, you know. But I've got such a love to eat. Matter of fact, the people in my office joke with me a lot. They actually have given me the title food and beverage director. I travel quite a bit, and I spend a lot of times in my trip planning around where I'm going to eat. You know, the last tweet up I did was actually in Orlando at B.B. King's. It's a jazz restaurant, and just to show my love of food, I had another one of my dreams come true. And, you know, a lot of people have dreams like, you know, they want to be president, they want to be an astronaut, they want to be an author that's really well published. For me, it was being able to order one of everything off of the appetizer menu. And I was able to do that night because we were the ones hosting that. So, you know, so if you can understand a little bit about that desire of love of food, you can see why I'm excited to preach about our daily bread tonight. Matthew chapter 6, and we've been speaking on the Lord's Prayer, and it says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And Jesus goes on, and we've heard, spent the last few weeks talking about this. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And I'm going to stop there tonight. Lord, I just pray that you would add your blessing to your word tonight. I pray that the words that are spoken here are from your heart, God, and that people's hearts and ears would be open to what you would have to hear from us tonight. I want to make sure we set the context, because we don't have the same interpretation of bread. You know, when I think of bread, it's something extra. It's a roll. It's something I catch when I'm down at Lambert's. It's something that they bring out at Olive Garden before we eat. And Matthew here, and really when Jesus is speaking to the audience here, is speaking primarily to a Jewish community. And bread in that time was symbolic of all of the food. It represented their daily provision of food. When he said the word bread, they understood he was talking about a provision of their daily sustenance. But he was also with the Jewish community. They were, from a young age, they were reciting the what is known as the Pentateuch, and they would have been very, very familiar with God's provision. In Exodus, when they had just left Egypt, and they're out in the wilderness, and they're starting to grumble, and they're starting to, you know, murmur and bicker and argue, and they say, well, God, you brought us out here, man. At least in Egypt, we had some food. What are you going to do about that? And in Exodus 16, verse number 4, actually, I'm going to start there. And so the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. And for those of you that probably know the story, God provided miraculously manna and provided for them to eat. And here's the thing, though, is that they had to learn to trust in that wilderness point. And as we look through tonight, as we talk about this portion of Scripture where Jesus is talking to us about how we should pray, he's saying, pray that God will, that you will learn to trust God for your provision, that you will learn to trust God to be content with what he's given you, that you will learn to trust God, and that you will share your generosity with what he's given you. First point tonight is learn to trust. As we've gotten up to this point, you know, David did a great job bringing us into the holy is your name, and we started off with our Father, and it's been built around relationship. And I think what's really powerful is throughout Scripture, throughout our lives, everything, and if anyone knows Craig Cunningham, you've probably heard this phrase, Everything grows out of relationships, and relationships take time. And if we're really going to come to a portion of Scripture and where Jesus is teaching us how to trust in Him for our provision, you've got to learn to trust. And trust is the foundation that relationships are built on. And so when God says to Moses, you know, I'm going to provide you food, trust me to do this, could you imagine hearing those words coming from Moses? You lay down that night and you're kind of like, okay, we're out in the middle and there's sand everywhere. You know, there's no oasis, there's no, you know, there's nothing out here. There's not someone that's been farming out here. We're not coming up to a Walmart or a Price Cutter. Seriously? I mean, how are you going to do this, God? Faith is a daily walk. Learning to trust God comes from exercising faith. Sometimes God gives you just enough to get to the next day. Not shows you everything down the road. He doesn't show you all the different turns and obstacles. And you know, as I look back on where my life has come from, I say this a lot. I say, you know, I probably wouldn't choose the path I've been on to get where I am. But I wouldn't be who I am had I not come down that path. And that path brought me to learn to trust because of a relationship I have with God. And it's not something that happens overnight. It's something that goes on time and time again. You know, we live in today, Mike mentioned Twitter, another very popular place is Facebook today. And I jokingly say that Facebook is a place to keep up with a bunch of people that you really don't care about. You know, you got friends from high school who haven't contacted you in 30 years. Next thing you know, they're leaving a comment on your status and you're going, where did that come from? When Jesus is talking to this crowd here and he's saying, you know, as you pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. He's saying, trust in God the Father to provide for you. That trust is coming out of the relationship that he's talked about God's will being done in your life, about his kingdom coming. Trust that God knows what he's doing. Worry and anxiety are the exact opposite of faith. And I'm terrible at this. My wife and I went through a transition just a few years back. Actually, just about a year and a half ago, and I was nervous. I'm sitting here praying, and we've been blessed and really done what we could so that she's able to stay home with our two boys. And as we're sitting there talking, and I'm going, man, but what if we can't do this? I really, you know, what about this? What about that? And she looks at me just straight in the face, and she goes, Leo, you're not my provider. And guys, I'm telling you, I preach this kind of stuff all the time. I talk about it all the time. But it's not until you come to those moments in life that God forces you to exercise faith do you learn to trust Him. And it was in those moments that we learn to feed on Him, to come to Him for what we need, to put our faith in Him. And this is Jesus talking. Listen to a God that cares about us. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25 says, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more than they? And who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these, a great king in Scripture. But if God so clothes the grasses of the field, and which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. This is Jesus talking to his church right now. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, as your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And this is a passage of Scripture that we like to pull out alone. But it's important that we keep it in the context of what Jesus is talking about here. Trust in God to provide for you. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has a trouble of its own. God's asking us to trust. Trust him like little children. I mentioned I've got two little boys. Levi, when he was about one, I love, one of the ways I'm trying to teach my kid to count to three is that after we have him on the changing table and I pick him up and I say, we're going to jump, one, two, three, and he jumps into my arms. I love to do that. He has the complete trust that I am going to be there. And Mike talked to us about God the Father is always going to be there when we jump. And as I was thinking about this, I do remember one time I'm standing there, and I said, one, two, three, and he just stands there. And in the process of changing him, I had knocked something off the table, so I turn around. Next thing I know, the kid's laying on the floor, screaming his head off. And I'm thinking to myself, I can't believe I just let my kid hit the floor. That's not God. God's saying, I will provide for you. I want you to trust me. So that when you take that step, when you're standing at the edge and you don't know what's going to happen, let me say it again. If you never exercise faith, you will never learn to trust. So we've learned to trust God. Learning to trust him in what he does. And as we learn to trust, we must learn to be content with what he's given us. And I think this is at the core, not only provision, but being content with what God has given us. There's a difference between need and versus want. And as Christ is leading us in how to pray here, he's saying, here's how you should pray. Here's the things you need in life. You need for God's will to be done in your life. You need for God's kingdom to come. You need for God to be your daily sustenance, not only for the physical things, but for the daily sustenance of who you are and getting through day by day by day. Need versus want. I got a lot of wants in life. I am a toy freak. I love my iPhones and my gadgets and everything I can. But you know what? At the end of the day, I got to stop and ask myself, is that a need or a want? We have this conversation a lot about cable TV. I don't watch a lot of TV. I spend too much time playing video games. So cable TV is not a need in my life. My wife, on the other hand, is a need in her life. She loves to watch TV. I am not saying anything she would not stand up here and say. We have two DVRs. It is rare that I have access to my television for live TV. But we've learned to be content with what God's given us. We haven't always been able to make these kinds of provisions in our lives for what we want to do and those kinds of things. And it's important that as he's standing here again, God's providing just what is needed in Exodus chapter 16 there. As the Israelites are saying, Lord, we need you to give us some food. They trusted him. Where is our focus? It's a little difficult. It's a little counterculture. Culture will tell you you need to spend $300 on that pair of jeans. I can't personally say that to me, I really have a hard time swallowing that, but culture will tell you you need the new iPhone 3GS because your iPhone 3G just isn't cutting it anymore. Culture will tell you to give in to the desires of what really is a want and not a need. And so where is your focus? Hebrews chapter 12. We talked about trusting in God for the faith, and in Hebrews chapter 11, it gives us the great if you haven't read Hebrews 11 lately, sit down and just read that chapter. Because it gives us the great, what they call here, surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses of faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance that the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for who the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ is calling us not only to trust in him, but to be content in him. To learn to live our lives in him. That if we have nothing else, We have him. We got a couple personal life stories that that have just been on my heart about this, and I've really debated whether to share one. A lot of you know the story, but you know, most of you probably can't see. I do have a hearing loss, and have had it all my life, and it is a major frustration for me and most of my family, because there's nothing more annoying than every time someone says something, you go, "Huh? What?" Now, the advantage is I do get away with selective hearing from time to time. "Oh, I didn't hear you say that. I'm sorry. I'll get the trash right now." Unfortunately, my wife knows me too well to know when I do and don't hear, but I get away with it at work from time to time, or, you know, as I'm walking down the hall and I just didn't hear that person, you know, ask me if I, you know. But I really had to work through this. But I think of a moment in life, that's something simple. That's something easy. You know, Leo, if that's the worst you got to live with, that's the worst you got to live with. And it's easy to talk on contentment. It's easy to talk on faith if you haven't ever really had to exercise faith. 2002, my wife and I had just moved back to Springfield. We were looking for work. We were actually living with my in-laws. I love my in-laws. You live with someone for a year after you've been out of the house. I don't highly encourage it. It's a little testing on the relationship. They're great people. They've been a great part of our lives. My wife and I have been married for, at that time, we'd been married for 3 years. And when we got married, we were one of the few couples that came through marriage counseling. And when asked the question, "Do you ever want children?" We're like, "No, we have no desire for it." We wanted to be able to just up and go and you know, go to on a trip or go on vacation, pick up and go down to Tulsa if we wanted, all, and just like that. We found out we were pregnant. I wasn't pregnant. My wife was pregnant, obviously. And as we got the news, she called me, and we knew nothing. We weren't trying. We hadn't been researching any of this. She got some of the, you know, "Are you sure?" kind of tests. She took three of them. And I said, "Well, okay, hang on. Let me call my mom. My mom's an RN, has been for 30-plus years. So, Mom, how accurate are these tests?" She goes, "Well, pretty accurate." Call the doctor, said, "Get a doctor's appointment." You know, you're like, "No, there's no way this can be." Make the story a little bit shorter here. We went into the doctor's office, found out for sure we were pregnant, and we both kind of, it was really hard for us to accept. And over the next few weeks, we began to just ask God to give us a love for this child. Because that's what we figured, it was a blessing from him, right? That's what Scripture says. So God, you know what? If this is what you want for our lives, we're going to do it. Full heart, we started. We had no idea if it was a boy or a girl, but I had a closet full of girls' clothes. We had pink bedding already picked out. Found out it was a boy. But December of that year, about 11 o'clock one night, we were rushed LaDonna to the hospital. She had gone into labor at about 24 weeks along. Sorry, I really didn't have this in my notes. Landon Charles was born that night, lived 8 hours. And I remember praying. I remember standing down in ICU praying. "God, let this baby live. Let this baby live." I'd like to tell you God answered that prayer and provided a miracle for us. He didn't. Ryan preached last week on "God, your will be done." And I asked myself, "God, how can this be your will? We've spent the last few weeks trying to learn to love a kid we never wanted. And this happens." And I've been asked about that situation a few times. Someone asked me once, "Leo, how did, you know, what made you stick around with God?" And I didn't have to bat an eye. I had to think about it, you know. Where else can I go? We can't always explain it. We can't always understand the reason things happen. We don't understand why God's allowing things to happen in our lives, but I had to exercise faith in that moment of life that God loved me like His Word said He did. And I had to learn to be find myself in him, not in the situation, not in what was going on. But I had to learn to be content in him, to be sufficient in what he is providing me, no matter what the circumstances were. Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 says, I have learned now to be quite content whatever my circumstances. I'm as happy with little as much, with as much as little. I found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or empty. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. Most of you know that verse, I can do anything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul is writing this letter while he's in prison to a city where he was beaten. I don't know about you, but if I'm in prison, I'm probably not writing encouraging letters to someone saying, hey, I've learned to be content in all things. Especially not somewhere where I was pretty much, you know, taken before a crowd and in those days publicly beaten. And he says, I've learned to be content in all things. Learned. It's a conscious effort. It's a choice. You have to make the choice. Are you going to trust God? Are you going to be content with what he's given you? Not because of what you have, not because of who you are, but because of who he is. He is a God. It's a relationship that you have to work on daily. It is something you have to do every day. You got to walk with him. That's the only way you can learn to be content. It's not something that just happens. It's not something that you can just will into being. It is a process that you have to learn to be content. And Paul says, I have learned to be content in all things. Obvious question, Leo, how can I learn to be content? I don't have any of these situations in my life right now where I'm having to trust God. Maybe you do, and maybe this is a message for you tonight, is you need to trust in him and to be content, not in the situation, but in Christ himself as our daily sustenance. As I was preparing for this message, this thought hit me. How can you learn to be content? I firmly believe that generosity breeds contentment. I believe that giving away what you have helps you be content with what you don't. Giving away what you have helps you be content with what you don't. It may be money. It may be time. It may be a skill that you have. Maybe you're great at something. But give it away. I also want to take this chance. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Think about that for a minute. It says, fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. Again, who are we finding ourselves content in? Who are we finding as our daily bread? Who are we putting for our daily sustenance? It's God, who supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. On a side note, let me just follow a rabbit trail. It's all right if you have money. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that, but it is imperative that you be cautious and that doesn't become a focal point in your life and that becomes something that you sustain. I have literally firsthand see the love of money, the love of things destroy a marriage, a friendship, a family. Firsthand, I've seen it happen. Solid people went to church regularly. They felt that they were living what they had called God to be, but because they got caught up in things and took their eyes off of what they are supposed to be content in and put it on what they were enjoying, destroy their lives. And God's saying, put your eyes on me. Be rich, be generous in good works. There are opportunities. You know, I think one of the big fallacies when you come to a church this size, that's one of the phrases I absolutely hate. When you go to a church this size, oh, they don't need any help. They don't need any, you know. I see Lori Lee sitting out here. You know, if you're griping that there's not a small group for you, start one. Give of your time. Give of your efforts. Give of your energies. Maybe you do great graphic design. Mike, I'm going to make a plug for you. always use help with our messages. Mike could use help day in and day out. Just ask. He spoke the difference between a volunteer and a servant. Find ways to serve. Christmas is around the corner. There are families in this church that you, unless you are not taking the time to get to know them, that need help this Christmas. Maybe this Christmas, as a family, you give to another family. I'm telling you, there's nothing more rewarding than anonymously giving. Remember what Christ, remember how he led into the prayer. Don't do it so everybody else sees it. It's just between you and God. Learn to be generous. Learn to give, and you will learn to be content with what you don't have. Go on a missions trip. You know, I think it's so interesting that we do get caught up in our American bubble. And we get caught up in how easy we really have it. The fact that I could jokingly throw rolls around tonight is representative of that. Nothing wrong with that. I'm so glad I live in America. But it's important. It's important that we learn to be generous. And if you need something, help to do that. Go on a mission trip. Go figure out how to give away whatever it is you've got. You know, maybe there's something in your life that you've been holding on to that you need to get rid of and let go of. God's asking you tonight to start giving. You know, it's really hard in today's day and age. I don't write many checks. So, you know, the offering bucket passes on Sunday morning. You know, if you go to centralassembly.org, again, we're talking about learning to be content, learning to trust God. Some of us just need to learn to trust God in the financial world. Give to God. You can do it online. You don't have to, you know, don't use I forgot the checkbook as your excuse. Monday through, Sunday to Sunday. You can give online. Give to a project. Find a local charity. Invest your time there. Find someone here and invest your time here. The point is, generosity breeds contentment. Generosity, giving of what you have, will help you appreciate so that you don't want what you don't have. So as we close tonight, I love asking myself this question as I sit down and I write an outline. Great, now what? So what? What do I do with this? How do I do this? Here's what I want to challenge you this week. We're looking at prayer. We're looking at the Lord's Prayer for today. As we look at that, pray this week that you will grow in your relationship with God. Feed yourself the bread God has provided you, His Word. Guys, this is easy to do today. This is real easy to do today. If you're not someone who likes to read, go do an iTunes search and say, free Bible, daily Bible reading. That's how I get mine. Because it forces me to listen to every word because I have a tendency of skimming past the not-so-fun parts. And what I found is there's so much in those parts that I have skipped over the years that I've missed. And every time I hear God's Word, I get a new little piece of truth out of it. It's easy. Imagine a church. Imagine if when we came on Wednesday nights and Sunday morning, we didn't have to come expecting to be fed ourselves. If we didn't have to expect Mike every Wednesday night to feed us the Word of God, because we have spent so much time feeding ourselves through the week, imagine the church that might exist. Imagine what can be done. So pray this week that you grow in your relationship with God. Feed yourself the bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Feed yourself the bread that He has provided. Pray for faith to trust God to be your provider. I know that in a room this size, there are people here who are saying, Leo, this is a great message, but I'm telling you what, you have no idea where I am. And that may be true, but God does. And worry and anxiety will destroy your faith in Him faster than just about anything else. Put your faith and trust in Him, and whatever He gives you, learn to be content with that, because it's from a Father who loves you and a God who is good. Learn to be content with what He's given you. It really is a conscious effort. I don't know how if I can stress that anymore. You have to be conscious of it. You have to tell yourself, ask yourself, is this something in my life that's going to consume me? Is this something in my life that I need? Is this the will of God? Seek Ryan, I thought that was a great word last week. Not just say, God, your will be done, and sit back and hope something happens. Seek it. Pursue it. If you need a job, I pray you are going out there looking, not waiting for God to open the right door, but you are daily working to get a job. God is asking us to seek His will. And when those doors open, or if that door is closed, look for the next one that's open. Seek Him and seek His will, and then pray for ways to be generous with your time, your money, and your skills. Maybe you play an instrument. Maybe you're a graphic designer. Maybe you are you just love to serve. And you know, Mike mentioned last week they've got some transition going on with our hospitality team and the refreshments, which, again, I come early every night because if you haven't noticed, the cookies are gone pretty fast. I love to make sure I get my chocolate chip cookie and my M&M cookie every night when I get every Wednesday night. Mike, I'm sorry, but sometimes that's, you know, for the other of us, some of us, you know, for some of us, Wednesday night is just a chance to get rid of the kids for an hour or two. Come on, let's not, you know, I know how that goes too. But pray this week. As you pray this week, pray for your relationship to grow with God. Learn to trust Him. Pray that you will make a conscious effort, that God will help you be content with what He's given you, and that you will learn to be content in that. And then pray for opportunities to be generous. Watch this week for chances to be generous. Not so that everyone knows you're being generous, but between you and God. Learn to be generous. Give of your time, give of your money, give of your talents. Lord, we thank You for this tonight. And I just, as You have shared with us in your word, such a simple prayer that is just so deep. We could spend hours unpacking every single line. And I pray tonight, God, that in my heart, that this next week I would learn to trust You more. That I would exercise the faith it takes to trust You for whatever that next step is. I pray this week, God, that as I examine my life and I examine the situations I find myself in, that I would learn to be content, not in the situation, but because I have You, Jesus. Because through You, I can do anything. Father, I pray this week that You would find, that we would find ways for us to be generous and find ourselves rich in good works. Find ourselves ways to give of our time, of our energies, of our if it's a financial gift. And then God, tonight I pray for those that are represented here. And they say, Leo, you know, it's easy to say this, and I really want to trust God, but I've just got this burden, and I'm not sure. I need a job. I don't know where my next paycheck's coming from. I don't know how I'm going to make the utility payment next month. I don't know how I'm going to put food on the table for our family next month. Lord, Your word told us that You take care of the fields, of the birds of the air, so much more, that if we would just seek first Your kingdom and Your glory, not worry about tomorrow. God, that takes effort. That is not something that's easily done. That is not something that just comes readily to most of us. But I pray this week that You would give us the strength to trust in You, that we would seek Your will, that we would be out knocking on the doors that we need to be knocking on, that You would be guiding us through Your Holy Spirit with the decisions that we have to make. We put our faith in You. We can do anything through You. We give You the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much for coming tonight. Take a few minutes if you've gotten. Make sure to introduce yourselves to those sitting around you if you haven't yet.